All right, it is 1:33 on this Monday afternoon, kind of a wet one today. It's been raining like crazy, but there was a sun peeking out there a little bit, and I think it's finally here. I think Sunday was the last little tease of the fading days of summer and early fall, and now we're full on into it. It's going to be raining for a while, but anyway. Okay, we talked earlier with David Darnell about Kitzhaber and how we're hearing word on the street that some people are actually wearying of Kitzhaber. And, this gentleman, I think, wearied of him a long time ago. Dan Lucas is with us. Hi, Dan.
How you doing, Bill?
Good. I have to say, first of all, I am in shock and awe that this actually was printed.
Me too.
Was there any back and forth or any exchange with the editor over this?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But actually, he liked it.
Huh.
Dick Hughes, he liked it because he'll tell you to your face he's very liberal.
Yeah.
But he also respects a difference of opinion. So
except mine.
For this one, because I was surprised. I'm critical of an editorial board decision. And he was very supportive of this.
All right, so let's get to this. And the title of this article, and again, what we're talking about is, and I'm gonna say the name here. I'm gonna break my own rules. Dan, generally, almost every week, gets an article printed in the editorial pages of the Statesman Journal, and this one is entitled "Why Credit Kitzhaber as Bipartisan in One Party State," and this is all to do with the Statesman Journal's editorial board basically endorsing him, right?
Exactly.
So go ahead.
Well, one of the things, every time I hear this, it makes me so angry. When they talk about either the gridlock in Washington, D.C., being congressional gridlock,
mm-hmm.
or when they talk about how great Kitzhaber is at working with the bipartisan, working in a bipartisan fashion with the legislature. Both of those things drive me nuts, and so I address both those in this article. And the reason I did it is because, like you mentioned, the Statesman Journal editorial board endorsed Kitzhaber, and as a part of that, they wrote, "A key example is how Kitzhaber worked with the legislature to have a successful bipartisan special session last fall. At the same time, the federal government was shut down because of partisan gridlock." And that, I saw red.
And what's your problem with that statement, just so we're clear?
Well, two things. The reason we have gridlock in Washington, D.C. is not because of, and most people, because of the media, they think Republicans control Congress in D.C.
Right.
Would that it were so. We control half of Congress in D.C. The Democrats have controlled the Senate the entire time that Obama has been president, and they've controlled the Senate since 2007, before George Bush even left.
Right.
So it isn't a Republican Congress.
No.
And in fact, the first 2 years of President Obama, it was 100% controlled by the Democrats. And that's when they rammed through Obamacare without a single Republican vote.
Because they had the numbers.
Exactly. And even the left-leaning Washington Post said at the time, let me see if I can find that quote. Because they rammed Obamacare through without a single Republican vote, this is their quoting from Washington Post, inflames the partisanship that Obama pledged to tame when he campaigned for the White House and has limited Congress's ability to pass any other major legislation.
It really has been kind of shut down since Obamacare, hasn't it?
It has, and it's because they just ran steamrollers over the Republicans. The Republicans had in another article I point out, I have links to them. The Republicans had very comprehensive plans and suggestions on health care reform, and they were completely ignored, steamrollered over. And then the media and President Obama have the gall to say, well, Republicans won't cooperate with us.
Yeah. In other words, because they won't lay down.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And that's what gridlock is somebody, whether it's Democrat or Republicans, putting their hands up and going, hang on, you're not going to just get this through.
And to President Obama, if everybody doesn't do exactly what he wants, that's gridlock.
And I'm glad you said that, because I want people to understand, gridlock's not a bad thing in certain cases.
Well, but also, President Clinton didn't deal with gridlock, and he had, for six of his 8 years, he had a Republican-controlled Congress.
That's right.
But he knew how to, you know, one of the skills of a president, you know, if you have any kind of skills at all, is that you're able to work with Congress. And President Obama is utterly incapable of working with Congress, with certainly with Republicans, but even recently there have been critical articles, like in the New York Times, of his inability to even work with Democrats in Congress.
All right, so let's bring it back to the statement made about Kitzhaber. The what they tried to bring up was that, hey, because of him, you know, everybody's getting along.
I pointed out at the beginning, because the wording in the Statesman Journal editorial was almost identical to what Christian Gaston at the Oregonian wrote a year ago, right after the grand bargain. And at that time, he wrote, against the backdrop of gridlock in Congress, Kitzhaber can boast that Oregon stands as a national model of bipartisan cooperation. So that was Christian Gaston at the Oregonian.
And the key here is, what happened 7 months later with this same Christian Gaston?
That Christian Gaston, who wrote that in the Oregonian, 7 months later, he left the Oregonian to go work for John Kitzhaber's reelection campaign.
Yeah. So that was like his, resume letter or something, or job application?
Exactly. And so, you know, I can understand he's trying to get a job with Kitzhaber, so he sucks up to him, writes something like that. But I didn't understand why the Statesman Journal would write something like that in their editorial page. Because my first thought, Bill, is how on earth can you say that Kitzhaber is bipartisan in a state that is completely controlled by one party?
And it really is. I pointed that out last week. I don't think there's one Republican in any real position of authority anywhere in Oregon, is there?
No. And in fact, in this piece, and I wrote a piece a year ago that said, you know, Republicans are no roadblock in Oregon because they can't be. Mm-hmm. I mean, and this is information from a year ago, and it's gotten a little bit worse since then just because another year's been added on. But both the state House and the state Senate are controlled by Democrats.
Right.
Republicans haven't controlled the state House for 7 years, now 8 years, or the state Senate for 11, now 12 years. Every statewide office is held by a Democrat. No Republican has been Secretary of State, Attorney General, or Treasurer in the past 20 years.
Or labor commissioner, or, I mean, you can go down the line.
The minor statewide ones. And here's the real, I mean, one of the things that I forget about sometimes, there's a doubly negative effect of having one party running being governor for decades and decades. The governor appoints around 300 different people.
Yep.
And that's not counting judicial. And so we've had decades of nothing but Democratic appointees.
I was going to point that out. And by the way, last week it came up, even with this story about Kitzhaber saying, okay, I want you to review, review board.
Yeah,
I want you to review Sylvia Hayes.
Every single person is appointed by the governor on that.
Well, I was going to say, wait a minute.
Some are nominated by somebody else, but they're all appointed by him.
Yeah, I thought, if I remember right, 5 of the 7 are Democrat appointees in one way or another. 2 were appointed by Republicans.
Right, but at the end, no, they're nominated.
Nominated, okay. All right.
Or maybe they're confirmed, but in the end, every one of them has to be appointed by Kitzhaber.
Either way,
even,
5 out of 7 are for sure.
Even Republicans, though, are appointed by the governor.
Yeah, right.
Let me find this group of people, and, you know, I'm sure they'll do a reasonable job or whatever, but it doesn't matter. It's like, we need to have somebody impartial looking into this.
Again, Dan Lucas with us. This one sentence you wrote here, it was appeasement of public employee unions, the grand bargain, not bipartisan leadership from Governor Kitzhaber, because they're the ones that are footing the bill.
Exactly. And so, because he didn't need a single Republican vote to pass PERS reform. He didn't need a single Republican vote. The only thing he needed a Republican vote for was to raise taxes, because then they have to have whatever it is at 3/5.
Yeah, right.
I think, he didn't need a single Republican vote. Yeah, they need 3/5 majority to increase revenue. So, and the only reason he needed, they didn't need to raise taxes. You know, they just got $2 billion more, increasing the general fund budget from 14.5 to 16.5, and they did that with no tax increases, just an improving economy. But to throw the public employees unions a bone so that they're, you know, they wouldn't go after Democrats too badly for passing even mild FERS reform, they gave them a $200 million tax increase. And unfortunately, they lured some Republicans into supporting that.
Yep. And I would remind people, it is Governor John Kitzhaber. If you are a public employee and you know that your dues are going to basically reelect him, remember, that's the guy who did the PERS cuts. I just want to remind people that.
Yes, exactly. So when I first came on, you were mentioning something about what was the word on the street that you were hearing?
That people are actually tiring of Kitzhaber, even Democrats.
So that ties in very well. So after the local paper ran this opinion piece of mine, I got an email this morning from a mayor here in Oregon. And I'm not going to say what city, but okay. It's a mayor here in Oregon, currently served. Here's what they wrote. I enjoyed your column on Governor Kitzhaber in today's Statesman Journal. As a lifelong Democrat, this year I will either hold my nose and vote for Dennis Richardson or not vote in the governor's race. Kitzhaber has too many skeletons in the closet, including Cover Oregon, the appointment of education czar Rudy Crewe, his token work on PERS, which is still a huge albatross around the necks of municipalities and school districts, and not the least of which is his poor judgment about, quote-unquote, First Lady Sylvia Hayes. I seldom remember the term First Lady as it applied to a governor's wife in the past, and to say that his girlfriend slash now fiance is the, quote, First Lady of Oregon, end quote, is a bit of a stretch. Thanks again for a great column.
Wow. A lifelong Democrat, you said.
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
that's what we're hearing. That's what we're hearing. I'm hearing it when I'm on my phones, and I'm hearing it from other people who are out knocking on doors.
No, that was very surprising.
Mm. Well, we need, the estimates are we need about 15 to 17% of the Democrats and the non-affiliateds to come over to the Republican side, and every Republican to turn out, and we'll have a new governor.
Yeah, no, and I'll tell you, we could sure use one.
Yes, we could. All right, Dan Lucas, if you want to find that article, it is at the Statesman Journal, or isn't it at your website as well?
It'll probably go up on Oregon Catalyst tomorrow.
Okay, at OregonCatalyst.com. Dan, thanks again.
Thank you, Bill.
Tech talk to you later. All right, it's a great article. If you get a chance, I don't very often recommend you go to that newspaper, but if you'd like to, it's good. I think you did a fine job. And wow, what a follow-up with that email, huh?